Welcome to Pauly Malignaggi. From Brooklyn to the world.
Proudly representing his hometown of Brooklyn, New York.
Pauly Malignaggi takes you inside the ring and beyond.
I'm definitely far from shy. We're going to be ranting about a lot of stuff. Not just about boxing. I'm opinionated on life in general. Many sports topics and politics.
Pauly doesn't hold back.
The two-time world champion, Pauly the Magic Man.
From Brooklyn to the world, Peter Cards, my man Pat, whose set's not here. I don't know where the fuck Paulie is. He's pissing me off. This is like, Pat, say what's up to everybody.
What's up?
I don't know where Paulie is. He's supposed to be here. He's not here. I don't know what's going on. It's like every week is a new fucking thing with this kid.
I was actually looking forward to meeting both of you guys, being this is my first time working on your show.
Yeah, you're replacing Seth because he's busy with his own issues. Well, congrats to him. He just had a baby. So, as they say, Seth's Jewish. Mazel tov. L'chaim. We say salute, right?
Yeah.
You're Italian, right?
I'm half Italian.
Half?
My dad's Italian.
Yeah, your last name's Italian.
Yes.
And your mom is?
Irish and German.
Oh, okay.
So I have the Irish first name and the Italian
there
last
you
name.
Go. Yeah, yeah. Patrick. Yeah. In Italian, it's Pasquale. What was I gonna say? Your dad was like Italian, like from there, or he's American?
My dad was born here. His parents, my grandparents, were born in Italy.
Do they speak it, or?
They're not around anymore. They died when I was very young.
What about your dad? He speaks.
He doesn't speak.
No, he's like American. Right?
Yeah, he's American.
Yeah, Paulie's like a greasy greaseball. My father was too. I mean, I speak dialect. I don't speak fluent like this little fucking midget. I don't know where he is. So yeah. Pat, I think it's me and you, kid.
Right.
We got to carry the show.
Think we could do it?
Yeah, we could do it. Who the fuck needs these people?
Right.
You know? It's only a podcast, right?
Right.
We got... everybody else has prior engagements, I guess. We're last on the fucking list, apparently. What are you going to do? A lot going on. We're going to get into some stuff today. We had some boxing. We had... What else do we have? Who the fuck is this now?
I wonder who this is.
Who's this?
What do you mean, who's this? I'm calling into my own show. You know, tell me who's this?
Oh, your show. This is your show?
Yeah, my show.
You're supposed to be here for your show, dipshit.
Well, this is my third day in New York in the past 6 weeks. You don't think I got other shit I got to do?
I don't give a fuck. Apparently, like I was just telling...
Language. Oh.
First of all, why don't you say hello to Pat? Because Pat's taking over for fucking Seth, who's another one.
Again with this language. Oh.
Hey, Pauly.
You talk to your mother with that language? Oh.
Say what's up to Pat, dipshit.
Pat.
What's up, Pauly?
Pat, what's going on?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm sorry you have to deal with this guy while I'm not there.
Yeah, Seth, between you and Seth, I don't know, I want to bash your fucking heads in at the same time. We got Seth popping out kids like fucking Daishiki from Don't Be a Menace to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood. And you're over there fucking traveling around the world. What were you taking, a steam bath? Fuck out of here.
No, not today. No steam bath today.
What were you doing, jerking your gherkin?
You want me to wonder what I was doing today?
What are you doing? You got to be doing something important because apparently I got to take the fucking bull by the horns, homo, and fucking ride this shit.
You sure did. Yeah, you took the bull by the horns, all right. But here's what I got this morning. I went to the gym this morning, first of all, because I'm still training, okay? And then I thought I had to take a meeting with the landlord for my body shop because I'm trying to buy the building where we don't have to pay lease anymore, you know? So I'm trying to come up with a deal. Trying to come up with a deal, and the guy could only meet today because he's a busy guy himself, obviously. So the guy could only meet today, and being I haven't been here, how many days can I possibly be with him too? So I said, you know what, I gotta meet with this guy. And before I knew it, time kind of went by, and I figured I wasn't gonna be able to make it into the city. So I'm calling out of a courtesy. I'm calling into my own show because it is my own show, and I gotta get this kind of welcome. I gotta get this kind of welcome into the show.
Thanks for the fucking courtesy.
Was this?
Thanks for the courtesy.
Who was the it gonna be? You make like we have live callers on the show yet?
So oh,
we
like still have a little. Well, what about the last time? The last time when people were calling in, it was like fucking Paris Hilton's agent, and who knows? I didn't know. I thought you were coming here. I don't know what you're doing. How do I know what you're doing? I haven't seen you. I haven't seen you since Italy.
For all intents and purposes, I did intend to come there. I really did.
You intended, You intended everything but to fucking shit yourself.
Yeah, I did intend it. The intention this morning when I woke up was I'm going to be in the city and I'm going to go to the office and I'm going to record the podcast live. But, you know, things came up.
The guy that you had to meet with was really busy also. He only had today. Everybody's busy except me and Pat.
Yeah, well.
Right, Pat?
That's right. I'm here.
He's here, Fucking Pat's here.
But I'm glad you made it. I'm sorry you had to deal with this with this little disturbance.
Yeah,
that we're creating over here. But you know, this is
the disturbance.
Welcome to my life. I'm dealing with this guy.
I'm the disturbance, Pat. Apparently.
So are we gonna
is this
gonna
be? Is this gonna be Peter Cards Brooklyn to the World with the weekly guest of Paulie Malignaggi?
Oh,
that's what it sounds like.
Would you already debug my show?
I don't have a choice. I'm the only one here. Fucking Seth is gone. You're gone. What are we going to do? I'm going to get fucking Aki. Aki, come in here. You want to be a guest on the podcast or you might be a fucking, you might be the next co-host.
Yeah. What do you like? You like D-ball, bro. You like D-ball from Friday. Are you kidding me? Are you going to take my show away from me now?
You know, everything's about timing. And I'm seizing a moment.
You are seizing a moment. You're seeing it from me, you jerk off.
Yeah, what else is going on?
Nothing. So I got a call yesterday from Sam Watson. So apparently, you know, to give everybody an update, because on our podcast we give everybody updates that they wouldn't get on the internet, because it's on our career. We give you the heads up when you listen to us.
Right.
So we've been trying to get on the Kell Brook card October 24th for this European title fight with Gianluca Bronco. Well, yesterday I got a call, Sam Watson from Team Heyman, and he said the fight will probably be moved between the 14th and 21st of November. So the fight is still on, but we couldn't get on the Kell Brook card, which is a bit disappointing because I really wanted to be a part of that show. Not to mention I wanted to see Brook and Chavez live after I won my own title.
I don't really care about all that. Are we still fighting in England, though?
Well, here's the thing. I was trying to see the cards that were set up. The 21st has Crawler versus Dolly Perez, the rematch for the WBA lightweight title in Manchester. So
That's our old stomping grounds.
Yeah, of course. And so I'm thinking that kind of makes the most sense. I mean, I told Sam yesterday, let me know when he has a confirmed and concrete date. He said he'll know soon. They'll know soon. So I'm trying to figure it out myself, you know. But I think the 21st makes a lot of sense.
Well, it makes sense in many ways. That gives you more than 17 days to train. That's good.
Well, yeah, but you know what it is, bro? I wanted to go to that Cotto Canelo fight, too. And now it means I can't go. If I'm fighting the same day in England, I can't go.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. You know?
Yeah, it's going to be tough to make it. It's actually impossible to make it, to tell you the truth, if I'm fighting the same day in England. So that kind of eliminates that. But I'm thinking that makes the most sense. I just can't think for the life of me what card I could wind up on the 14th, you know? So I'm thinking the 21st probably makes a lot of sense, you know? So we'll see.
Good old Sam. So he came in with some good news, not exactly what you wanted, but it's still good news.
If I'm going to quote Sam, he goes, I got some good news and some bad news, but the good news is still good news. usually good news is good news.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Thanks, Sam. Let us be the judge, Sam. Just give me the fucking message, would you?
So he said, the good news is you still got the fight. The bad news is it's not going to be the 24th. I said, all right. But you're definitely going to get the fight, and the fight is the next fight for you and Bronco. You're fighting each other. I said, all right, well,
that was the plan. Thanks, Sam.
Yeah. Okay. Making it happen. Maybe we're also told the fans at home, giving you an update. Updates that you won't find anywhere else. We're giving to you live and in charge here on Brooklyn to the World.
That's beautiful.
Paul Malignaggi and Peter Cards. So that was the deal, you know?
Sure.
So what about the locks we went out? What about last week? Matisse and Postal. No?
Oh yeah, I was all over it.
You all over it. You're a jerk off because that was my lock. And then you've got to remind me about my own lock. Because I'm caught up working the Broner Matisse fight. I mean, the Broner Alex Verdier fight. I'm rehearsing all day. That I actually forgot about Matisse and Postal. You're my right hand man. You're supposed to remind me. Yo, bro, don't forget the lock we have is Victor Postal over Matisse. You know, he's an underdog. Where were you on that one, dipshit? Seriously.
You didn't say it was a lock.
Before Happy Gilmore, I mean, it was more than a walk, but it was worth putting in, though. You know what I mean? It's like he was a live, live dog. And any live dog, you put it in. You know what I'm saying?
I actually had Postal and the Over.
So you did both of them. You take my knowledge, don't even give it to me.
And parlay it with the Over.
That's what I'm saying, bro. This is exactly what I'm talking about here when I'm talking about you deballing my shit. You know what I mean?
All right,
the least you could do is throw me a reminder, no?
Toss your frickin' bone, Scott. I got you.
No, what I'm saying is you got to toss it back. It's like the baton. I gave you the baton when I gave you the lock.
You're supposed to toss the baton back. You ain't give me no baton, bro. Pause.
Again. Oh, come on, bro.
Talking about giving a grown man a baton. Come on.
The relay race. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. You relay your own fucking race.
Whatchamacallit?
Well, let me ask you a question. I'm sure the fans want to hear you.
Go ahead, Uncle Manny. By the way, that's an inside joke, everybody out there. My Uncle Manny, who's an Italian American, anytime he wants to get serious, he said, instead of saying, but let me ask you a question, he says, ma, let me ask you a question. Ma in Italian is like, but. Ma,
let me ask you a question.
So he said, ma, let me ask you a question. So anytime you have a question, like you get serious, we just say, go ahead, Uncle Manny. So right now, let me ask you a question. So I said, go ahead, Uncle Manny. That's the inside joke. All right?
So
go ahead, Uncle Manny. Ask me a question. What is it?
I'm sure everybody wants to know, what is it with the fucking every time Matiz loses, oh, it's the eye? I mean, at this point, wouldn't he have a fucking detached retina or something?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm not going to knock Matiz because he's sponsored entertaining fights and he's been a part of the world class world for a while, but you gotta be the truth teller at times. Sometimes people fall too much in love with power. I mean, obviously it's normal. And people sit there and say, "Oh, well, that's because Paul, you don't have a lot of knockouts and you hate." No, I'm not hating. I think I love a knockout artist as much as the next guy, and they're always exciting to watch. But in Lucas Matisse, we're looking at a guy that has never won a world title. You understand that?
Right.
For all the hype, and everything that's been going on for these years. Does everybody understand Lucas Matisse never even been a world champion? Legitimately. He won an interim title. That's it. He beat Lamont Peterson. He chose for the fight to be non-title because he wanted to keep his mandatory status with WBC. So he took the Lamont Peterson fight above the weight limit, so he never won the IBF title. Like, it's crazy.
And you know,
For all the hype and everything generated, you were looking at a pure monster puncher, and he certainly was, but not much else.
Right.
And a pure monster puncher makes for exciting fights, but a pure monster puncher doesn't necessarily tick all the boxes, as they say, as my friends in England say, tick all the boxes when it comes to making a world-class fighter. And
right.
Obviously, Lucas Matisse is a perfect example of this. He probably just fought his last opportunity to get a world title, and he lost it. I don't know that Lucas Matisse can put himself back in the picture because he's not with the most connected team anymore, and taking a bad loss here. And the junior welterweight division is going to be very full in the coming next couple of years. Judging from the talent that's in there right now, it's becoming very stacked again as it was a few years ago. It's going to be very, very difficult for Lucas Matisse to win a world title in his career. Amazing. But when you think about it, fact to fact, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and when you think about it, remember I go back to Arcelino Freitas...
But I played a one world title, Steve.
No, I know. But they came over with these crazy records. I mean, there's no doubt about it that both of them had tremendous power.
Yeah.
But
you can't doubt that.
Yeah, you can't doubt it. But when the level of competition rose.
You can't break that, though.
But when the level of competition rose a little bit, they got less knockouts, and they just became, non-competitive.
Well, I wouldn't say less knockouts because they still get knockdowns and stuff. Like here's the thing. You started realizing Matisse was limited. Obviously, Garcia beat him all over the place. Like he stole something.
Oh, but wait, that was because of his bad eye.
Yeah, but that's the thing. The eye didn't blow because of a headbutt or a foul. The eye blew because he got hit with a left hook. That doesn't count. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then he had a fight of the year, life and death fight with John Molina, who is an exciting fighter himself. But again, is John Molina world class? I mean,
no.
He's a nice kid. He's probably a gatekeeper. He's not world class.
Right.
You know what I mean? Adrian Broner kind of showed that afterwards.
Right.
And actually, after that fight, even Humberto Soto beat John Molina. So in reality, your life and death with John Molina after that fight. And now you put on a you fought a fight with Victor Postol, who himself has been showing the goods that he's come up the ladder, and he took you right out. He took you right out, and you submitted, basically. You know what I mean? I mean, Matisse, as tough as he is, I mean, again, I'm a fan of watching the guy just as much as everybody else, because, you know, even though I'm not the biggest puncher, big punchers excite me.
It's exciting to watch.
The chance to watch them is always exciting, but you're not going to throw the eggs in one basket, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You need more than that big punching power. Like, Maidana's a big puncher, but he's also a mauler. He goes to the pace. He's a mauler.
He's awkward. He
makes you very uncomfortable.
And he has more character. That's what I mean.
He has a lot more character
than Matisse. You know, in that fight, I don't think Maidana would have let Postol, coast at the time.
I couldn't agree more, kid.
You know?
I couldn't agree more. You're right.
What do you think? See, I don't agree with fans. I've been seeing, tweets and stuff when they say, oh, that's why Danny ducked Postol and went up to 47. I think it was more of a money thing. I don't think Danny ducked anybody.
Yeah, but, I think people are always going to criticize Danny.
But style-wise, that would have been tough for Danny.
Listen, it would have been a tough fight, but Danny fought a lot of tough opponents. I mean,
yeah, of course.
People talk about the old-time fighters didn't fight every fight that was tough. So if you were like, oh, they fought 180 career fights. Bro, they fought the same tomato can like 40 times sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, they fought every few weeks. You think they were fighting world-class fighters every 3 weeks? Are you kidding each other? Are we joking? Like, is that a joke? You know what I mean? Like people make the old-time fighters are so much tougher. Bro, they weren't. If they had lived through the criticism that today's fighters live, they wouldn't have been able to have a career themselves. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's crazy because you're not going to have that kind of a career if you're fighting the next killer on the block every second. Bro, I get criticized for fighting the guy I just fought last month. I got a murderer's row of opponents on my record. You know what I mean? Murderer's row. Nobody fights the guys I fight. You know what I mean? The level of competition I fight. Of course you're going to get beat when you fight that level of competition. What, you kidding each other? Adrian Broner probably walks to the best two guys he fought in his career. You know what I mean? Maidana and Porter. You know what I mean? So, I mean, again, if you step up consistently, you're going to get beat. It doesn't mean you can't fight, though. You know what I mean? You've also got some solid wins. You know what I mean? So,
absolutely.
It doesn't mean anything. You know what I mean? Like, when you test yourself against the best consistently, losses will happen. In the old days, losses happened as well. You know what I mean? But they also didn't fight world-class fighters every second. They fought every second, but not against world-class fighters every second. Buddy, if you fight world-class fighters every second and you fight 200 times in a career, you're going to be walking around like you don't even know what's going on. Are you kidding each other?
They would be dead.
It's a joke. The way people actually think of these things, they don't know shit about boxing. I hate to quote Roger Mayweather, but they don't know shit about boxing. Like, you know, imagine fighting 200 times in a career and fighting a Maidana, a Matisse, a Postol. Every 3 weeks. Oh, you kidding? Oh, you kidding each other? You would be dead.
And sparring to get ready for those.
Forget about your career. Your life won't be over by the time you're 40. Let alone your career. You know what I mean? Like, you know, human beings are still human beings, bro. The kind of punishment you're taking is only so much. You know, so people got to take it for what it is, man. You know, people got to take it for what it is. And, you know, It's sometimes it's
I don't think anyone
people a little too critical.
Fully understand
people little,
boxing.
People are a little bit too critical of fighters, and including Danny. And people are going to say, Danny, well, avoided Postol, because that's the convenient thing to say if you want to hate on Danny. But Danny's a guy that fought Zab Judah. He fought Michael Lewis before he won the world title. He fought Kendall Holt before he won the world title. He fought Nate Campbell before he won the world title. Then as a world champion, he fought Amir Khan. He fought Zab Judah. He fought Lucas Matisse when everybody thought Matisse was what was his big deal. He made everybody happy and fought him. You know what I mean? So,
and beat the shit out of him all over the place.
So again, you can't knock a guy for not fighting a killer every single time. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Like, I couldn't even believe that I was getting criticized for the fight I fought a couple weeks ago. You know what I mean? Like, bro, I've been fighting murderers. What am I supposed to die? You know what I mean? I'm not sure they can I live a little bit, you know? So like I'm fighting this lesser guy and I'm wasting everybody's time on national TV and stealing money or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I did my own privacy. I went to Italy. I fought this whole fight. You know what? I'm gonna come back this way. You know what I mean? And that's the way you do it. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of have to build yourself back up. You know? And
right.
So that's the way to do it. You know? And I think even the old school fighters, that's how they did things. You know? And I don't mind it. Honestly, I don't mind it. I think it keeps you hungry. You know, if you're going to be a fighter, it kind of reminds you, hey, man, you know what? If you want to be a big-time player, if you fall off, you start, you gotta kind of start from scratch, and you gotta build yourself back up. And I think the building yourself back up part kind of reminds you what of whether you're really hungry or not. You know what I mean? So it's kind of makes you think a little bit, you know, and motivates you. And if it doesn't motivate you, well, then you know you're done. You know what I mean? And if it does motivate you, well, then you know what? It means you still got a little bit of fight left in you. So, you know, for my part, we'll see. But also from everybody else's part, I mean, you can't keep knocking these fighters, man. I mean, you cannot not keep knocking these fighters.
And speaking of which, even AB, man, you know, he didn't fight he didn't fight the best fighter in the world the other night, but. To me, he looked good. He looked sharp.
Listen, about AB, like I said on the Fox Sports 1 broadcast the other night, nobody did Alec Verdi like AB did him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, nobody did that to him. Mm-hmm. So regardless of what you want to say about Alec Verdi, he was a guy with a lot of amateur experience, an Eastern European. They always come prepared. They always come very disciplined. And nobody dominated him like AB did. You can say what you want. But at the end of the day, facts are facts. You got to look at the track record. I think AB's best weight is 140 pounds.
100%.
Now, does that mean he'll beat every 140 pounder out there right now?
No.
I don't know, bro. But you know what? I like to have him in the conversation for any top 140 pound fight. And that's all you can ask. You know what I mean? When the weight class is as deep as 140 pound division is becoming, I don't think there's any guaranteed winners in any fights. But if you can legitimately stay in the conversation for any of those fights, well, you know what? I mean, you're world-class, and I think AB's right. Proven himself at world-class level in the super lightweight division. I think he's a bit small for a 147-pound division. I mean, he says he can fight at any weight. It's up to him. I think he's overestimating himself a little bit. But that's his
swagger. That's his confidence.
Yeah, that's his swagger. That's just, you know, his confidence. Maybe his just giving these writers quotes. But between us, I think AB's best weight is the super lightweight division, 140 pounds. I think he still keeps a lot of the speed. I think he maintains some of the power. And his energy level, and the guys aren't physically too big to the point where they're bothering his own rhythm, you know.
Yeah. And there's some good fights there to be made.
I think my Don and Porter, you know, just the physicality of those guys bother AB more than anything else. Because skill wise, obviously AB can be in the ring with anybody, but and the physicality at the welterweight division eventually catches up to him, which is what happens when you don't take any steroids and you stay clean, you know.
Right.
Weight classes start to matter. We won't say anything else about that, but right. You know. People already know the deal.
Right. But, and also 140 is like, it's like the new weight class to, you know, there's a lot of fights that could be made there. Exciting fights. One thing you and I spoke about that people didn't mention mm-hmm. was right away they want to put Postal with, Terrence Crawford, this one and that one, not realizing mm-hmm. who's the mandatory.
Yeah. And that was something I was thinking about today. I was saying, now Victor Postol won his first world title. The first world title is one that's really tough to give up. You know, it's really tough to vacate and whatnot. But from a business standpoint, does it make sense for Victor Postol to vacate a WBC title that he just won with a very big victory and not fight Amir Imam and fight Bud Crawford instead? Because Crawford probably brings in more money, and it's a bigger fight financially and even from a viewing standpoint. Amir Imam is an absolute blue chip prospect / contender. I mean, I think he might be one of my favorite prospect contenders out there right now. He's fun to watch. He can punch. He can box. He can do it all for me. But he's not known. He doesn't have the notoriety of a Terrence Crawford. So does that mean that Victor Postol was better off vacating the WBC title and not fighting Imam and then fighting Crawford instead?
Well, possibly. Either that or they're gonna have to write Amir Imam a nice step aside check.
Yeah. Possibly the WBC might say, you know what, okay, we'll give you a voluntary. But here's the thing I said, I read yesterday, I was reading up on this, and the WBC rules mean if you win a vacant title, you are supposed to take on the next two fights, are supposed to both be mandatories.
Wow.
As opposed to if you take the championship from the champion, you know, you're allowed to get a voluntary.
Wow.
So if you win a vacant title, and they said Stavern did that, you know, he won a vacant title, but he had to take on his mandatory right away. And that was going to be Deontay Wilder, which he lost.
Hmm.
So, by those rules, if they play by their own rules, that means Victor Postol, unfortunately for him, is either going to have to fight Amir Imam or vacate the newly won WBC title that he just won. So, it's some interesting decisions to make. Honestly, fans are going to say, oh, if he doesn't fight Imam, he's ducking him, this and that. Yeah, okay. But at the same time, you also have to make some business decisions and whatnot. And when you make some business decisions, sometimes you make decisions that the fans aren't all up for all the time, you know? I think Victor Postol got himself a solid win, but can I blame him for not taking on Amir Imam if he decides to vacate and takes on Terrence Crawford instead? I don't know. I mean, I do think Amir Imam deserves a world title shot. That I cannot neglect.
But ladies and gents, you are getting a free lesson in the business side of boxing, because everybody right away, you see, oh, Victor Postol, what a performance. Man, I'd love to see him versus this guy. I'd love to see him. As fight fans, we all make these fantasy fights, these dream fights that we all want to see.
Well, that's the thing.
But there's a business to boxing.
And that's the thing. People are going to say what they want, but everybody out there, people are going to judge right away when titles become vacated and whatnot. People judge right away, oh, this guy ducked this guy and this guy does this. But from a fighter standpoint, everybody out there, I want you to put yourself in Victor Postol's shoes. You finally got the big win you needed in your career. It's a world title fight. You finally got
long
the big win
awaited.
Yeah. What do you do? I mean, if you're Victor Postol, people at home, what do? You take on Amir Imam for less money in a very risky fight? Or do you vacate the title you just won? You're still an undefeated ex-world champion and take on Terrence Crawford, who is a huge name in boxing. And, you know, yeah, you're still risking a loss, but you're risking a loss against one of the pound-for-pound best fighters in the world and a guy who's more known.
I want you guys to
put yourself in Victor Postol's shoes.
Right.
What would you do?
Because put it in perspective for them.
It's easy to judge it from the outside looking at, oh, you know what, he ducked. And believe me, I'm a fan of Amir Imam. Nobody thinks he should get a title shot more than I do. Believe me. I've seen this guy. I've called this guy's last few fights live. And I am super, uber impressed with him. You know, so believe me, nobody thinks he should get a title shot more than me. But if I put myself in Victor Postol's shoes now, there's a tough decision to make. You know what I mean? Everybody at home, put yourself in Victor Postol's shoes. What decision do you make? All of a sudden, you realize it's not as easy a decision to make as you think. Or maybe you want to be judgmental if he does vacate the title. But put yourself in his shoes. Would that be the smarter thing to do? It might be. I got to say, it might be. I don't know.
Put it in perspective for them.
I think Postol versus Imam is an awesome fight.
Right.
I really do.
But listen,
I actually lean towards Imam, though. There's a winner. But I think it's a great fight, you know?
Put it in perspective for people at home that don't know what kind of stuff floats around the pot. Now, we don't have any facts here. Let's just shoot from the hip. An example would be, okay, Victor, you're the champion. Your number one contender is Amir Imam. It's going to go to purse bid. And the purse bid is, it consists of many things, right? Whoever wins the purse bid, they pick where the fight is, right?
Where the fight is, most importantly.
The split goes in favor of the champion, but depending on how much the purse bid was.
No, the split is usually 70-30 for the champion.
70-30,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. So now, again, just for people that don't know, let's just shoot figures from the hip. If you're Victor Postol, what we're trying to say is, if it turns out to fight your number one contender, who is a really tough fight where you may lose, the figure may come out to $200,000 for you, where you might be able to fight Crawford and make $700,000.
Yeah.
What would you do?
Yeah. You know what I think? I think the key thing here is, you just made a great point, Pete. I think Victor Postol actually has a chance to wait out and see what the purse bid figures turn out to be. And then from that, if he sees they don't tickle his fancy, if the numbers aren't as high as maybe he'd like, then he can also choose to vacate. You don't have to vacate until maybe the first bid happens. Who knows? You know what I mean? Maybe you get a nice number out of the first bid.
Right.
Maybe you come up. Maybe the bids are so high that, you know, it becomes worth it for you. And maybe the bids are high enough and you win the first bid and you force your mom to go to Ukraine.
Right.
You know? And we know, we fought in Ukraine ourselves for the world title. And we know that's not the easiest thing to do. You know what I mean?
Right.
To go into harsh territory, into a foreign country. So, you know, maybe you force Amir Imam, if you win the purse bid, to come to Ukraine and deal with all that mumbo jumbo.
Right.
You know? So, and then, and maybe if you get a good figure out of it, okay, suddenly the fight becomes more dealable with, if I'm using the correct terminology here. You know what I'm saying? Okay, maybe you don't get the numbers you want. You don't get the figures you want. You wait out the purse bid, you don't get the figures you want. Or maybe you don't even win the purse bid. Or you lose the purse bid and it's not enough money. Or you win the purse bid and it's not enough money. Well, then you still have the option to vacate your WBC title and go fight Terrence Crawford. You know? So there's a way to go about things. It's giving people the ins and outs of of the thinking process behind not just the sport of boxing, but sometimes the business decisions you need to make. And sometimes they're not always easy. I mean, you know, I remember I had to vacate my IBF junior welterweight title when I first won my first world title if I wanted the Ricky Hatton fight. It wasn't easy. That first world title, man, you don't want to give it up. You know what I mean? I had to vacate it because, you know, it was either fight the mandatory, which was a rematch of Herman and Gujo at the time, or fight Ricky Hatton for a lot more money. A lot more money. In the end, when I was given the figures for the Ricky Hatton fight, honestly, it became a no-brainer. You know what I mean? So you know, it was something that I didn't want to do, but at the same time, you know, you also have to make business decisions, you know, and fighting the bigger name sometimes is the bigger business decision, especially if the bigger name brings a lot more money to the table. Now, if the money is worth it, and so you get to keep your title, and we'll see how this plays out. I'm very curious, you know.
And in your case, Ricky had the ring title at 140. It was like the lineal. We were fighting for 140-pound supremacy.
But
Pat has a question for you.
I do have a question. And
go ahead,
I think
Pat.
Are you guys talking about the business of boxing? And I think a lot of casual fans don't know anything about that. And you mentioned the purse bid, and you know, I'll watch a big fight, but I'm not the biggest boxing fan. And I didn't know, like, I always thought, instead of, because I always know it's always set beforehand. Like, you know, he's going to get, like you said, the champ is going to get more. But I know when I talk to, like, my friends or, like, about boxing, we always think, hey, would it be better or more intriguing if something, like, comes up, hey, if I'm fighting you, instead of having the money set, like you said, 70-30, can the winner get 70% and the loser gets 30%? So this way it's not guaranteed. If you want the bigger pot, you have to win.
Yeah, no, it's usually the champion has the say in all the negotiations, especially if the champion's team wins the purse bid. Now, the purse bid is sort of like an auction. That's kind of how it works,
yeah,
you know?
And
purse bids only happen when you're dealing with your mandatory contender. A voluntary defense is totally negotiable. A number one contender, a mandatory contender defense is also negotiable, but usually a lot of times if they can't negotiate, it's a forced purse bid. As opposed to a voluntary defense, if you can't come to terms, you don't have to make the fight.
So
mandatory, you have to make the fight, whether it's by purse bid standards or by negotiation.
So someone,
that's why it's called a mandatory.
So if someone is a number one contender, they'll take less money to fight the champ. But if they win, if they win the fight,
then the next
fight's in their hands.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I see. Either way, whether you win the purse bid or not, you're getting the shorter end of the whole amount of money if you're the challenger.
Right. Okay.
Whether you win the purse bid or not. But then winning the title is the reward. You'll be the champion, and then the next time around you have all the say in the negotiations and whatnot.
So
being the champion is key. Basically, it gives you the leverage in these negotiations, and it gives you the leverage in
the title always gives you the leverage.
You know?
Right. So even if you win, you'll eventually have the leverage.
Exactly.
The ultimate goal is there.
And that's what you're working for, exactly, you know?
Got it. All right, thanks
so
for
from a,
that.
From a lot of different perspectives, being a champion is obviously the goal, you know? Obviously, the lifelong dream of becoming a world champion, and of course, dictating a lot of the negotiations afterwards is a big key as well. So
is that the same in every fight, or only fights that involve a champion?
It's not the same in every fight. Sometimes, in some rare cases, if the challenger has a more connected team, or the challenger is a bigger name than the champion, sometimes the challenger actually winds up with more money. But it's those are more rare cases. For the most part, the champion has more still leverage.
Right. Okay.
And especially in purse bids, there's actually rules to purse bids. The champion the winning purse bid, no matter who it is, the champion gets 70% of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, the challenger's team can win the purse bid, and then they can decide where the fight is. Like, I'll give you an example. Alexander Povetkin's team won the purse bid against Vladimir Klitschko's team a couple of years ago. And so they took the fight to Russia, as opposed to Vladimir usually fights in Germany.
Right.
Now, the purse bid was a huge bid they put in, just so they could get the fight in their house.
Right.
They got the fight in Russia. But Vladimir still got the lion's share of that money. Even though Povetkin's team won the bid, Klitschko still got the lion's share of that money, because as a champion, you have to follow the rules of that purse bid, you know?
Got it.
And then, unfortunately for Povetkin, Klitschko went to Russia and still beat Povetkin. So, They won the bid, but in the end, ultimately, even getting the fight at home didn't help them out too much, you know.
What about one better than this? A promoter that doesn't have either fighter could join the purse bid.
Yeah.
It's an auction. Let me give it to you this way, Pat. So let's say I have fuck you money, as we call it, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're gonna fight Paulie. Paulie's promoter is Joe Schmo, and your promoter is Suka. Now you guys are both competing for this. Now I'm sitting there and I'm like, I want to put this promotion on because you know what? Paulie's a big name. I have a bunch of young fighters that I could fill this card with. All the media is going to be there because you and Paulie are going to bring a lot of people and a lot of attention to the boxing world. I'm going to outbid everybody. And that's basically an investment on a promoter's end to now put up a show with two fighters that he doesn't even have a financial interest in. But now all my young guys are going to be on the undercard.
Right.
Yep.
So everybody gets to see them.
Yep.
You know?
Exactly.
It's business. You know, it all comes down to purse bid. Anybody can do it, you know?
And again, these purse bids, all our hardcore boxing fans know, maybe our casual fans don't know, but yeah, these purse bids are obviously only in mandatory situations. In non-mandatory situations, it's strictly negotiation.
Got
it. So it becomes a difference. It's a different kind of a means to an end to get to that fight, you know?
And who's Postal with?
Postal's with a Ukrainian team. I don't know.
It's not K2, is it?
No. It's not K2. I don't know. He's with some people from Ukraine. I think Top Rank may have a piece of him now. I'm not sure. But I do know. I used to train at Wildcard, and I had told people I had sparred him years ago, you know? And I know he had this whole Ukrainian regime around him, you know? And I don't know. I think he's still with them. I don't know if they're co-promoting now with Top Rank or not. I'm not sure. You can't quote me on that. I'd like to find out myself, actually. I'm very curious myself. But regardless,
speaking of purse bids, you got Don King, who hasn't been relevant in years. Is he going to start, like, pawning off jewelry to win this purse bid?
I don't know. That's the thing. Don King's guys usually don't win purse bids anymore because Don King doesn't win purse bids anymore, so you end up having to go to the house of the other fighter. But I don't know if Imam has anything to do with Al Haymon as well. I don't know if Haymon and King are working together with Imam, or if it's just a Don King thing, you know? That I'm not sure of, you know? Because I'm sure it would help Imam's cause if Al had his backing as well. Because if it's just Don King, honestly, I don't know where he's getting the money to win the purse bid. And you're going to get Don Kinged, as I say it, in this day and age. When you get Don Kinged, you basically get no TV dates. You get nothing. You just lose the purse bid and then go to whoever's house you got to go to try to win the fight.
Yeah,
you know?
It's the opposite of the 70s and 80s Don King.
Yeah, and 90s.
The 90s.
Or mid, up to the mid-90s anyway. But yeah, so we'll see. But again, I mean, nobody thinks Amir Imam deserves a title shot more than me, man. Believe me. I've seen this kid, and I'm very impressed. I think he's exciting. I think he's good for boxing. He has a very distinct passion for the sport. If you talk to him, he can go on and on talking boxing and watching videos or whatnot. He lives this. He lives and breathes this. And it's that passion. It's that youthful passion that a lot of fighters have that eventually gets jaded. And right now, he hasn't lost it yet. It hasn't been jaded yet. And you love to see guys like that accomplishing their goals and reaching their dreams and whatnot. And so, we'll see. We'll see if he gets a title shot. Obviously, Postal being a new champion is obviously still hungry and motivated. I think it would be a fantastic fight because you'd have two young, hungry lions still trying to make a huge name for themselves and willing to put it all on the line. And hopefully, if the fight does happen, I think it lives up to a lot of expectation, and two talented guys with a lot of character, and I'd like to see it again. I'd really like to see it. Hopefully, it happens.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff going on in the boxing world.
Speaking of locks, did we talk last week about my Bayern Munich lock, right?
Yeah,
when I hit Bayern Munich, that was a big one. That was a nice easy one.
I saw a tweet that the people love when you talk about Champions League. Were there any games this week, or they took a
week? No. Next week. What about Juventus at 2-0 in the Champions League, but in the Serie A, they're like not even in the middle.
They can't scratch the surface.
Yeah. I think they won Sunday, but Milan and Juventus, AC Milan and Juventus, minchia. What a disaster of a Serie A season this year. This year, by the way, I went to San Siro after my fight.
San Siro.
And I watched Fiorentina beat Inter like they stole something. Like, literally, you know, like, beat them like their daddies. Like I couldn't even believe it. The way they smacked them up. And I went to see my buddy Giuseppe Rossi play, and he didn't play. And it's for one positive thing, his team's doing great. In the Serie A, they're, I think now they're actually in second place because Torino actually Torino actually won as well. Torino's actually up there. It's funny because the two Turin teams, Juventus and Torino, usually Juventus has a bigger reputation, but Torino is actually the team doing better right now in the Serie A. But Rossi didn't play. He's still coming back from his injury. Hopefully he gets some playing time. But right now, that front line that Fiorentina has playing has been doing a phenomenal job. And so we'll see how they continue once Rossi comes back and is healthy, you know.
I know you're big on the soccer kick, but you got to do it to you again.
What do you got to do?
We'll talk about DraftKings.
Go ahead.
You know?
Interrupt me. Go ahead. You're like taking it upon yourself to make this your own show. Go ahead. Go for it.
I'm here.
It's like you're calling the shots now. Can I decide when we talk about DraftKings, or you got to decide when we got to talk? Seriously.
You're going on a tangent about Juventus. Listen, they said they enjoy when you talk about Champions League. They didn't say it was Serie A. I mean, if you want to get technical.
I was getting technical because I was telling you the difference is how weird it is. Because I was going to actually build into this from another perspective. Man City can never win in Champions League. I mean, they had a nice comeback win last week. I got to say, I thought they were really dead. They came back and managed to get the win. But in the Premier League, they're always terrific this last half decade. But they can never put it together in Champions League. It's like the opposite. You know, like Sunday, Sergio Aguero scored 5 goals in like 20 minutes.
Wow.
I'm sure a lot of my UK fans are annoyed. That's what I'm talking about. Sergio Aguero, Newcastle scores first. And in Premier League, scoring first doesn't mean anything, really. In Premier League, it's like a free-for-all. Honestly, in Premier League, you could be up 2-0 in the 85th minute and still lose the game. Believe me, I've lost bets like that, literally. So in Premier League, it's like a free-for-all. Anyway, Newcastle scores first. Then Aguero literally scores 5 goals in 20 minutes, literally. I'm not even kidding. He scores 5 goals in 20 minutes. I think the game ended 5-6-1.
Newcastle had to steal wall up, huh?
Yeah, yeah. the opposite.
Well, they have to steal his defense?
Yeah, unbelievable. So Manchester United, Manchester City in the Premier League, doing well. And Champions League, a little bit to be desired. They had a nice comeback win last week, so good for them. United also got a win last week, so the two Manchester teams got wins in the Champions League. What about, speaking of Premier League, what about Chelsea? I think Chelsea got beat by Southampton on Sunday as well over the past weekend. Southampton with a goal by Pele. Pele is the Italian player. He plays for an Italian national team and plays for Southampton. Shout out to my boy Steve Byrne, a.k.a. England Steve. By the way, my friend England Steve is moving to Brooklyn, P.
Is he?
So yeah, we got to get together and watch some of the football.
Fucking hell.
As they call it in the U.K.
Fucking hell.
Together with him. He's a big Southampton fan.
Shipping the Porsche over, or is he...
No, he got rid of the Porsche. He has a two-door Mercedes or something. I think
Did he get rid of it for a bet, or...
I don't know. Yeah, that's a degenerate. Tell him the story, Pete. Let me tell you.
So, I hear about this guy, England Steve. That's all I keep hearing about. You met him in L.A. at Wildcard, this and that.
Mm-hmm. He's a friend of mine.
What was he, a tennis player, model?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, he did all that, yeah.
So I keep hearing about this guy, right, Pat? And I'm like, I never met him. So we had the opportunity to fight at the Staples Center. Mm-hmm. So my first time in L.A., I'd never been there. And Paulie tells me, yo, I'm going to give you England Steve's number. You got to text him and give him his ticket for the fight. Right. I'm like, oh, I get to finally meet this guy. So I said, I said, all right, yeah, you know, let me text him. I said, hey, what's up, Steve? It's Pete from Team Malinaji. I have your ticket. He says, oh, great. You know, let me know when's convenient for you, and I'll come by and pick it up.
Bro, you're not even doing the vibe, but you got to do the accent. Come on, bro.
It was text, bro.
All right. Got it.
So I text him where we were staying, the hotel, whatever. Mm-hmm. So he texted me that he was there, so I went to go meet him, and you see him, skinny guy, blonde hair, you know. Typical tennis player model look, you know. He's from England, so he has this accent. So I'm like, Steve? And he's like, Peter. I'm like, yeah, what's up, man? He goes, oh, cheers, mate, fucking hey. So I said, here's your ticket. He's like, oh, fucking hey. He goes, how's it going? What's going on? I'm like, nah, nothing. He goes, you know, he goes, I said, you've been giving Paulie some tennis bets. And he goes, yeah, fuck yeah, man. He goes, I fucking send it in, man. So I'm like, yeah. I was like, you're pretty good. Obviously, you were a player, so you know the ins and outs. He goes, yeah, fucking hey. He goes, you know, I've got a Porsche, right? He's like, it's fucking Porsche. I don't use it. He goes,
You know, the fucking David Haye versus Klitschko. I wanted to fucking sell my Porsche. So, he goes, it sounds a bit degenerate, but I want to sell the fucking thing and put more money on fucking Klitschko. There's no way David Haye's going to win the fucking fight. I'm like, you wanted to sell your Porsche so you could bet on the fight? He's like, yeah, yeah, I bet it, but I wanted to really fucking lay it in, man. I was like, what the fuck? I thought I was bad.
That's a big gamble.
He said, he goes, it sounds a bit degenerate, but...
just a bit.
So England Steve is moving to Brooklyn.
Yep. England Steve is moving to Brooklyn, kid. Wow, you're actually in New York right now.
That's great. Gotta
get together. Yeah, that's fine. I told him we got to get together for next week's Champions League.
Yeah.
So we'll figure it out. I definitely got to meet up with him. He hit me up. Hatchie hit me up yesterday.
Speaking of which, you know what?
Dead.
I am a fucking big deal. How about that?
What do you mean?
I am a big deal. Oh, you deboned my show, this and that.
Right.
No, I am a fucking big deal.
All right, Mr. Humble, go ahead.
You know, why?
Go ahead.
I get my own fucking sponsors for our radio show. How about that?
Bro, if you keep giving the curses, we're going to get no sponsors.
Oh,
keep
yeah?
Cursing, you jerk off.
This sponsor... Oh, he says, if you keep cursing, we're going to get no sponsors, you jerk off. Oh, okay. thanks, Dad. Good life lesson. Listen to this one. So I get a package in the mail.
Yeah.
And my fiance says, this is for you. I said, for me. I don't order anything. Everything that comes, UPS, FedEx, this one, that one, Amazon. I said, it's always for you. What do you mean it's for me? She goes, it has your name on it. I didn't order anything. It has your name on it. I open it up. It's Blucetin. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
This is a pill that they sent me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, mind you, think about it, right?
Go ahead.
This
I'm always cause. Just let me have it.
Why don't you shut up?
Go ahead.
It's designed to support healthy liver maintenance and performance and protection from past, present, and future lifestyle stressors and toxins.
Wow.
How great is that? Tired of that awful, toxic, rundown feeling the morning after a night out with a friend? We've all had that, right? That's life.
Or the morning after any night with Peter Card.
Yeah. Well, I think that's part of why they sent it to me and not you.
Cool.
But you could probably use this because it's vitamins and stuff.
Sure.
It's really good. It helps you rejuvenate. Okay. So I'm looking at this pill and I'm like, what is this thing? And I look and it says, take 2 tablets prior to drinking alcohol and then take 2 after. And it helps you rejuvenate your liver. So that, you know, obviously...
So you take it with the alcohol, and it helps.
No. Prior.
So you basically take it, then drink alcohol.
Listen, they're
it's
not...
It's supposed to have, like, the opposite effect.
They're not promoting you to drink. They're saying, you know, we all do it. We're adults, especially somebody like me.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to do it, this is a way to help your liver and your body recoup and rejuvenate. You know, we're not getting any older here. You know what I'm saying? I mean, We're not getting any younger is what I meant to say.
Sure.
It helps restore your body with key electrolytes, vitamin C. It's a ton of vitamin C in there. Healthy immune support and free radical protection. Now, choose the smarter way to enjoy life responsibly with Blucetin.
Mm-hmm.
Scientifically designed liver and body support. Right now, you can get the special offer, 10% off. Just go to Blucetin.com for details. That's Blucetin.
They couldn't find a better spokesperson for this product than you.
Listen, I am the sports. That's why I'm doing the ad.
No joke. No, I've been taking it. You always tend to disagree with you a lot, but in this case, I got to be honest. They picked the right guy.
No, I've been taking it myself. I swear to God. Once they sent it to me, I'm like,
does it work?
Yeah, you feel good. I feel like...
Do you feel your liver like is healthier?
Well, I mean...
Can you feel if your liver is healthier? I mean, I don't even know if it's...
I'm not a doctor, but I don't feel like hungover. You know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah. You don't really get hungover anyway.
Huh?
You don't really get hungover anyway.
No, but you know when you feel like, oh, man, I got to like sleep more or something? You feel like whacked out? I don't feel that.
Till the next morning, you feel more energized?
Yeah, like I feel better.
You don't have that groggy feeling.
Right, I'm not exactly. Yeah. That's Pat just hit it on the head. Groggy.
Boom. Good stuff.
See,
Pat.
Seth would have sat there and fucking talked about some bumps.
That's why you replaced
that. That's why Pat's here, is right.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's Blucetin. BLUCETIN.
Nice.
Then they could get 10% off by using the code. Come on.
What's the code?
Paulie M.
Everything's Paulie M. I love this. I love these codes. I love these codes. Paulie M. P-A-U-L-I-E-M. Paulie M. And you get what? You get 10% off.
10% off.
And you know there's a lot of you degenerate drinkers out there. Now, I know Peter Cards is not the only one. So,
hey,
for all you guys out there.
Our guys in the UK
and
could definitely
use this. I know our friends in the UK like to have a libation or two here and there. So you guys should really jump into this Lutheran thing. Because if it helps Peter Cards, then it can definitely help anybody who likes to have libations.
Absolutely. Right? It's been working for me.
I like it. I like it.
I'm having a libation right now, and I just took two loosenings. Listen, I'm sure they want you to take it with water or something, but I'm a little different. What do you want me to do?
All right. Well, you did say you're supposed to take it before you drink.
Right.
Not as you drink. But
nah,
all right,
what
are
you going to do?
Close enough. Yeah, close enough.
Fuck
close
me.
Enough.
Fuck me.
Good enough. Close enough.
Fuck my
now,
mother.
Again, with this Karminka. Oh, again. You kissing her with that mouth?
Yes, I do.
Minka.
I kiss her on her butt.
Oh, unreal.
I kiss her so much.
While we're on this sponsor tip, any other sponsors that we missed today? Because
well, of course, tonight, Sunshine, tonight is Thursday Night Football. Let's go. Let's pick a team. Pick a quarterback. Pick two running backs. Pick a few wide receivers. It's easy. It's fun. You know what? I got a challenge from one of our listeners to the podcast on DraftKings. He sent me a direct challenge. He says, I want to see what your locks are all about. So he challenged me to a $10 game. So I'm like, I'm all for it.
You can do that?
Huh?
You can do that?
Yeah, bro. DraftKings is the way to go, dude.
Can you use the P-A-U-L-I-E-M code, too, for that?
Yes, when you're a new member, you sign up. Paulie M.
For this one-on-one thing you're doing with the listener, you guys are using Paulie M?
Well, we already had money in the account. But this, when you want to sign up, if you haven't done DraftKings, I don't know what you're doing with your life. You want to play fantasy football with your friends and play for a bag of potato chips, that's fine.
Yeah, you guys want to play patty cake with your Pedro, but in this case, we're not doing that.
What we do here at DraftKings, we go every week, we pick a different team. I'm not going to sit there with the same boring team and wonder how this guy's doing the whole year. I want to change up my lineup constantly.
You know what, I like that. I like that because, you know, guys with the same team the whole year, I figure like it gets redundant and repetitive
right.
after a while, don't you think? Right?
Absolutely.
I like this whole new week, new lineup kind of thing. I like it.
Go to DraftKings.
FantasyKings.com or whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah, exactly.
.com. It's still pretty cool, you know. I like it with the Paulie M, code. You know, it makes it even better. But go ahead.
That's it.
Keep going.
So tonight you could start Thursday night. You can do, I do Sundays, but you could start it on Thursday. Whatever you want to do. Tonight is the official start of the week for football.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, very nice. Do we have another sponsor?
Yes, we do. We do. This is,
well,
like I said.
Run them all out right now, Pete. Run them all out.
I'm going to tell
out.
You right
Even
now.
You're taking over the show today. Run them all out.
Squarespace.com.
Go ahead.
You want to go, you want to build your own website. You know, you have a plan. You have an idea. You want to create a website. This website is going to teach you a regular Joe Schmo like me, how to go create a website. Everybody knows out there.
This can make like our listeners more tech savvy, you would say.
100%. And you too,
now what
pal.
Me too. Well, I don't know if there's any hope for me, but definitely with Squarespace, maybe there is some hope, you know? So guys, you build your own website. Can it be any website you want?
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's the whole point of it. You're building your own website. Portfolio, an online store, if you want to sell stuff for your own products, you build a website and you showcase your products on that website.
All right.
This is, you can start your free trial today. No credit card required. Squarespace.com. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure you use, guess what the code is.
Paulie M.
Hey.
Oh, I'm getting good at this game, kid. I gotta be honest. Paulie M. P-A-U-L-I-E-M.
10% off.
Of our sponsors.
10% off.
You get your breaks. Paulie M. Use Paulie M. You get your breaks.
Squarespace.com. Build it beautiful.
Beautiful. Nice. Now we got all our sponsors out of the way.
Yes, sir.
I got something to say right now.
Go ahead.
I got the car parked in front of the garage.
Right.
At the house, Pete.
Right.
And your fiance is walking by my car, walking your dog. What are you even feeding this dog? Not only is he retarded, but he's fat now, too. You kidding me? What are you even feeding this thing?
That's a low blow, man.
No, seriously, bro. Your dog got fat. I mean, I haven't been home in like 6 weeks, but your dog is fat, bro. Like last time I seen him, he wasn't this fat.
I started giving him prosciutto when I got back from Italy.
Did you? No joke. Seriously?
I did, yeah.
You started feeding him prosciutto?
Yeah.
Why would you feed your dog prosciutto?
He loves it. And I mean, listen, I give him fruit. I give him like a peach or an apple.
You give him a peach or an apple with his prosciutto?
No. It's one or the other.
Oh, it's one or the other. So why do you explain the weight gain, bro?
That's his breed, man. They like to eat. So he's always crying for food.
They like to eat, so you throw him prosciutto.
What are we going to do?
Yeah, nice one.
We're Italian. You just eat.
Your dog's going to be one of those dogs that have to walk sideways because he's so fat. That's the problem. You don't want him to get to that point.
Your
you know?
Mother's going to walk sideways. Don't talk about my dog.
Bro, I'm telling you, be careful what you feed that thing, bro. Because when they that start thing. Walking sideways, you know, you ever seen that? The dogs that have to walk sideways because they're so fat?
That's how you refer to your nephew, that thing? His name is Tyson.
Oh, poor dog.
Hey, listen.
God.
How about the fucking Rangers last night?
Boom! Beating the defending Stanley Cup champions, ruining their banner night. That's
right?
What I'm talking about, because this should have been our banner night last night. We should have won the Stanley Cup last year. So you know what? As the rightful owners, we decided to take them on in Chicago and ruin the night that they put up the new banner as the champion.
Let me tell you
Boom.
Something. We're going to need fucking security in here, bro.
Again, Mika!
Listen to me.
Go.
Pat is a fucking Jet fan. He's a Met fan. And what
the
are you, a fucking Islander fan?
Jets,
no.
What?
Devil fan.
A Devil fan.
Major, you're the worst, bro. You're killing me.
This guy's fucking killing me.
Pat, honestly, Pat, you're lucky I'm not in the studio today.
Yeah, you would have got like jumped,
to
come man.
Good on that, actually.
Trying to come through the phone.
Bro, you would have got jumped just now.
Bro, the Devil, I don't know that I hate any team in professional sports more than I hate the Devils. Like, I really, really have a passionate hate for the New Jersey Devils. Bro.
They're the Whoa. Devils. Think about the name. They're the Devil.
Jersey Devil.
Pat, are you from Jersey?
I'm from Jersey, yeah.
Where in Jersey?
All right. It's more forgivable, at least you're from Jersey. Like, you're not a New York guy who likes, randomly likes a Devil.
Yeah,
like,
no,
like,
that would
like
be
Pete's
weird.
Cousin, like Pete's cousin Matt.
Yeah, my cousin Matt, all of a sudden. I'm a Jersey Devils fan. What the fuck made you a Jersey Devils fan?
Yeah, that's kind of random. You don't ever want to hear that.
Right. Where are you from in Jersey?
North Jersey. Do you know the Wayne area?
Yeah.
Wayne.
Lincoln Park,
Wayne.
Over by the mall.
Our friend Wayne Johnson was from, if he fought
no.
in Wayne.
Oh,
remember that?
Yeah. Boom.
You always from there?
I'm from Jersey, yes, but I grew up in Hudson County.
Hudson County. My brother lives
in
Aberdeen.
Hudson County, what town?
I grew up in Gunnberg. It's a small town. It's like between North Bergen, West New York area.
Boom.
Union
boom.
City over there.
Union City,
yeah.
All right. Our friend Mrs. Gabe is from Union City.
Right.
Yeah. Boom. That's what we're talking about. All right.
You're gonna need Masseuse Gabe. Hey, so first off, I wanna rant a little bit.
What are you gonna rant about now?
I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna fucking rant about.
Again, bro, if you curse one more time, I'm gonna reach to a phone and choke you, bro. Go ahead.
When you hear about what I'm gonna rant about, you're gonna understand and you're gonna curse yourself because you hate the guy too.
What is it?
Joe Girardi.
Oh my man! Don't even do it. I told you, the Yankees are never going to win a World Series with this guy as manager. We won in 2009 because the team was so stacked that even a moron like him could not win the World Series. You know what I mean? Go ahead.
This is the
Continue.
Thing. This is the thing. You're a Met fan, Pat.
Yeah, but I always
so
thought,
stay out of this.
But
none of your fucking business, Pat.
Oh!
Even when he was with Florida, I thought he was pretty good.
He's a pretty good manager. He's a moron.
Well, okay.
Listen.
I'm going to stay out because I'm not a Yankee fan.
I'm just joking. You give me your...
People have jobs because of people they know. Like, sometimes people... And you look at a guy, he has a certain job, and you're like, how does this moron have
He sucks
job?
Somebody's
he's
cock.
He's a moron. Well, Joe Girardi's one of those things. You know, he's been a long-time Yankee. He was a player his whole career with the Yankees. He's been in the organization his whole life. So, by default, he ends up getting... the job as manager, and now you can't get rid of the guy.
But remember...
It's like when Donadoni was the coach of the Italian national team randomly, out of nowhere. Remember Donadoni got the coach of the Italian national team for the Euro Cup randomly because Albertini was running the FIG, the Federazione Italiana Gioco Calcio, which means, you know, the Italian Federation for the national team. And so Albertini's tight with Donadoni, so he gave him the job, gave Donadoni the job as coach. A total moron. A complete and utter moron. As a player, he was great, but as a coach, he's moronic. He got the job as a coach of the Italian national team.
But if he
just like that situation,
Joe Girardi is the manager of the Yankees. What is in your business managing the National Little League team? But the team each other. Go ahead, Pete. Continue. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Pat.
I have a question. But if he, when he got the job, wasn't he up against Mattingly at the same time?
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't Mattingly more of a Yankee than Girardi? So if it was only based on that.
They dissed Mattingly a long time ago
before
he went to L.A.
Guys, hold on a second. Hold on.
Jerk-offs.
Skippers.
The whole Yankee organization. Go ahead. Go.
Catchers catchers are always thought to be better skippers. That's just because they call the game.
What kind of fucking... You're making me curse now. What kind of thought process is that? Catchers are more... What does that mean? What position you play on the field matter when it comes to managing a team? It's two different things.
What are you, slow?
No matter where you play on the field, managing is managing, playing is playing.
Calling the game, calling the game is the whole thing.
Wow. Wow.
What are you, shot?
Well, the catcher calls the pitches to come out, and it doesn't even mean the pitcher's going to listen to him.
No,
the game is a whole team thing. The first base coach is giving signals. The third base coach is giving signals. The manager.
Not to the pitcher, the catcher, you dumb shit.
The catcher is answering for certain pitches, which the pitcher doesn't even have to agree to.
Yeah, how often do they shake him off, dude?
Oh, come on. Go ahead.
Listen, it's a known fact. Skippers are mostly picked when they're catchers.
Okay.
Joe Torre was a catcher.
Yeah, Don Mattingly was the first baseman. You got me, Jerkoff? Don Mattingly was the first baseman.
He still would have made a great skipper, in my opinion.
And he won the NL West. All right, go ahead.
All right, let me get to my fucking point.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, so he picks Brett Gardner over Jacoby Ellsbury to play.
Mm-hmm.
Reason why was...
Because Ellsbury has been in a slump lately, right?
Reason why was because of Brett Gardner's numbers against left-handed hitters, okay?
That's what I mean. This guy's too much into stats.
Right.
He's a total jerk-off.
Okay,
He doesn't look at the game on the field. He looks at the game on paper.
Right. Now listen to this. Gardner gets up, first two at-bats, he strikes out.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So now you're 0-2 with two strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
His third at-bat...
Mm-hmm.
Gregorius led off with a single.
Mm-hmm.
You got a man on first with no outs in like the sixth inning or the seventh inning. Sixth inning.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you think
to
bunt him over?
Yeah, 100%.
What the fuck?
And Gardner's actually fast enough to where if he gets a good bunt off, he might actually...
The problem is he never gets a good bunt off, but still... You're 0-2 with two strikeouts.
Yeah.
Give him some confidence. Make him make a little contact with the ball. Get some... Because then what happens is Beltran rips a single, and that run would have scored. So now it would have been 2-1. And now the bullpen and... I mean, the dugout, the crowd would have been going insane.
Because
now they have some hope.
Yeah.
Instead, he's making this guy swing.
Yeah.
Because I thought...
Go ahead.
I thought Yankees don't bunt.
What does that mean? It's baseball.
That's National
Yankees
League
don't
ball.
Bunt.
Yankees hit home runs,
baseball.
Don't they?
How many people watching baseball? Yankees don't bunt. Did you watch the 96 World Series? All you did was bunt guys over.
He's throwing a dig because he's a fucking Met fan.
96 World Series. When did you start watching baseball 2 years ago? Even the Yankees bunt guys over.
He's being a sarcastic Met fan. Yeah, I know. Good luck with Kershaw on Friday. Fuck out of here.
Go ahead.
I know. Good luck with Greinke in the next game. Fuck out of here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Mets are making it out of the first round. Yeah, I know.
Go ahead. That's going to be a good series, but go ahead.
So that's my whole thing. He sucks, and he needs to go. He's been needed to get fired for a long time. I saw on SportsCenter, they tweeted this, right?
Go ahead. What did they tweet?
Out of the 9 Astros starters tonight, they made $27,859,980. This season.
Wow.
Jacoby Ellsbury made $21,142,857 with the Yankees. He's not
home.
Starting.
And he's going to play. He's going to watch the Astros play from his living room tonight.
Is that not insane?
How
do you not win with this kind of team?
Does that prove that he was a bad signing?
No.
You give a guy...
The Yankees overpaid.
George Girardi's got to go home. Enough already.
That's it. He's got to go.
And I've been saying he's got to go. Now everybody agrees with me suddenly. I've been saying it for years. He's got to go.
Yeah, my father-in-law too. Listen.
The guy used to go through his whole pitcher stance in a third of an inning. He used to change pitcher every pitch. Every pitch, he would change the pitcher. Every batter, he would change the pitcher. Before I told you after the eighth inning, he had no relievers left. Wow.
You know CC Sabathia put himself into Alcoholics Anonymous?
Yeah, I know he did. I know he did.
If I played for Girardi, I'd be in an Alcoholics Anonymous too.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I got one better for you.
Go ahead. What do you got?
The Cubs, obviously, they won their one-game playoff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last night against the Pirates, which it's a shame for both of those teams to have almost 100 wins and not make the playoffs when you got the shitty Mets that with 90 wins in there, and, you know. But, yeah, that's the way the rules are, you know. The kid, what's his name, Jake Arrieta?
Yeah.
Arrieta he's pitched, unbelievable, though.
He pitched a gem.
Yeah, he's got, like, 31 scoreless innings straight or something like that, right?
Did
you see the game?
Yeah.
He got hit. And
listen. That kid Cole is pretty good, too. The Pirates.
Absolutely. No, they were both pitching great. What happened is
stone cold.
Arrieta hit two Pirates.
Yeah, but I saw the interview. He said it was a little damp, and I wasn't trying to put anybody on base. He goes, you know, you got to take it for what it is. It was really a mistake.
Right.
I'm not trying to put guys on base in a playoff game, you know, which makes sense.
Yeah,
you know, when you hit two guys, you eventually got to come with you no matter what, you know?
Right, but that's what I'm saying. What was the big riot all about? They hit him. They hit him. It's still 2-1.
Yeah.
There should be no big deal. And that jerk off, what's his name, Rodriguez? Was punching the cooler.
Yeah.
But when he was on the field, he wasn't doing anything.
Right.
Come on, dude. But
I think it's frustration.
Yeah, but you know what's coming up?
What?
I'm going to shoot out a name for you.
Go for it.
I want to see where you're at right now.
All right, but let's have it, though.
What?
Let's have it, though.
Okay.
Waiting for the name.
Steve Bartman.
Oh, yeah, Steve Bartman. Yeah, the Chicago guy. But he turned it down. They offered him like a ticket or something, and he turned it down or something like that.
It's coming up on the 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, poor bastard.
Poor bastard. We were watching that. Me and my friends were watching that again because they were talking about it. They said that he was at the game yesterday in Pittsburgh.
He went to Pittsburgh to the game, but he won't go to Wrigley?
No. Well, he doesn't live in Chicago anymore because of all the death threats. But it turned out that it wasn't really him.
Oh, yeah, because I heard like they offered him tickets and he wouldn't come and he turned them down, like respectfully turned them down or something. They said it on SportsCenter the other day. That's a bit extreme. You know what, buddy? You fucked it up for everybody already. And excuse my language, potential sponsors out there. I messed it up for everybody already out there. Like, if they're looking to make good with you and invite you back and all that good stuff, take it with open arms, buddy. You know what I mean? Like,
no, because that's the organization going to invite you back. You think the fans are going to sit there and be nice? Nah, I wouldn't go.
The first guy that, if the Cubs win the World Series, the first guy that belongs with champagne all over his face is Steve Bartman after all that guy went through. You know what I mean?
Bro, they were saying he's going to be like the head of the you know, the ticket tape parade.
Yeah. You kidding me? First of all, if Back to the Future, if the movie Back to the Future has any kind of realisticness to it, besides the $7,500 shoes that Nike's coming out with, which is a joke. Those things look like space boots. They are so ugly. I was having this debate the other day. One of my friends, with Christian, he works for with PBC behind the scenes. Was one of the camera guy, production guys. My buddy Christian, he said he's all into Jordans and sneakers and whatnot. And I was talking to him about these Back to the Future sneakers, the ones that zip themselves up and whatnot. And I said, bro, they are the ugliest things in the world. And I sold them on the site for $7,500. Is that a joke? And he goes, bro, those things are great. They zip themselves up. I said, zip themselves up? How? He goes, you put a battery in there. I said, a battery? Because now when you gotta wear the world's ugly shoes, you got a battery in your foot, too. What, are you kidding me? They look like they're ready to walk on the moon, bro. They are the ugliest sneakers in the world, and they kind of sell them for $7,500.
It's ridiculous.
I'd rather jump off the Verrazano Bridge than take those for free.
Let me ask you a question instead of giving Jordan and the movie Back to the Future sponsors.
Back to the Future, the Cubs win the World Series in Back to the Future 2.
Yeah.
Now, the funny thing about that is Back to the Future 2 came out in, like, what, 1986, 87? At that time, the Cubs hadn't won the World Series in 1908. It was like a joke because you said by the time 2015 really comes along, the Cubs probably will have won a World Series.
Yeah.
But it's funny that we'll do it now because from 1987 to 08, the Cubs still have won a World Series, so it's like a joke. Well, they picked the Cubs and not the Red Sox and anybody else, so coincidentally, they might have even jinxed the Cubs, because the Red Sox have won a World Series since then. The Cubs have not. So why is it under 15? The Cubs, at least, if anybody can give them any kind of hope, it's the movie Back to the Future. And they're not in the playoffs. They are in the playoffs. So let's see.
My father-in-law says, oh, that kid didn't deserve that. That had nothing to do with the play. He says Moises Alou wasn't going to catch that ball.
Yeah, he was.
I said, are you serious? I'm like, Jim, what are you talking about? Of course he's going
to
catch the ball.
That's just choosing to say, just to say it, bro. There's no way Moises Alou doesn't catch that ball, actually, if Bartman doesn't interfere.
Right. And then they should, you know what happened was from that stemmed first and second with nobody out.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah,
one
yeah.
out.
I saw it.
Listen, a routine double play to the shortstop,
mm-hmm.
and he completely bobbles it and mishandles it yeah. after the fact.
Right.
Yeah. The pressure.
Right. Cuts. That blame has to go on that guy for
yes.
sure.
Yeah.
But dipshit with his headphones on, it's just he's too easy of a target.
Yeah.
How are you not going to
yeah.
go to him?
Right.
You're sitting there with headphones on.
You don't even go to the guy who bobbles the ball, though. If the catch gets made, the whole everything after it changes. It's like a space-time continuum, you know what I'm saying? Back to the Future. Again, one event changes, everything after it changes as well. You know what I'm saying? So if the ball gets caught by Moises Alou, everything afterwards is also different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's actually pretty wild.
Yeah, it's a space-time continuum.
Everybody's
you know,
like, that was so messed up. They were throwing pizza at him.
Oh, man, that was the least of his worries, bro. The guy was getting death threats. You kidding me?
Can you imagine like the mobsters in Chicago?
Well, I'll be happy for Cubs fans if they win the World Series, bro.
Of course.
That's got to be like an amazing feeling. Generally,
hey, our buddy Ryan. Listen, Ryan Green
yeah.
from Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, he's I was texting with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's psyched. Obviously, his mm-hmm. Blackhawks went down in flames, but it's early.
Well,
you know.
I'll see the Rangers. You know.
Yeah.
Other than
I'm
going to the Islanders Blackhawks game Friday at Barclays, and I got invited.
That's Boom. Cute.
Yeah, even though I'm not an Islander fan, but, you know, got to support the Barclays Center cause, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Go ahead.
But, so imagine the wise guys in Chicago when that kid touched the ball. Kill his fucking mother. His mother's got to die.
No, with a Chicago accent. His mother. No?
His mother, that fucking cocksucker.
Nicky Santoro, no? From,
yeah.
From Casino, no?
Yeah. His mother, the cocksucker.
I'll come out of jail and I'll crack your fucking
crack
head
your
open
fucking
again.
Skull again.
All right, we can't cuss, but we got. In this case, we're pro Casino. So come on, we gotta go.
Hey, Steve, maybe I didn't explain to you exactly what it is I do.
Because I'm fucking crazy.
No, he says because I'm fucking stupid. I don't give
a fuck about.
I don't give a fuck about jail. Hopefully, when I come out of jail, hopefully, you'll be coming out of your coma. You know what, Steve? I'll crack your fucking head again.
I'm fucking stupid. I love it. I think that's all the time we got for today's episode. No, folks?
Yeah, we're good.
We're good. But, bro, we didn't even say what episode this was. You just took over the beginning.
This one's
of the show,
23.
Episode 23. All right. Peter Carr usually announced it at the beginning. This time we announced it at the end.
No, I was busy being the fucking host.
All right. Hey, we cut him off already. Episode 23 is over and out. Till next week, Tony Malagi, Peter Carr. Patrick, I don't know if you're going to be back next week or if we got Seth. Seth, congratulations on your baby.
Congratulations.
And
Mazel.
Mazel Tov.
L'chaim.
All that good stuff. We'll have more show at episode 24 next week.
Yeah, maybe you could show up next week. Fuck that.
Oh! All right, we're out of here. Episode 24 next week. Be there or be square. I'll be there. Hey.